Hey everyone, I'm Coach Al Lyman.
And I'm Dr. Kurt Strecker, and we are the experts behind Pursuit Athletic Performance, one of the nation's cutting-edge sports training companies with an outstanding reputation for getting athletes just like you stronger, more powerful, and faster, all while keeping you uninjured and in the game year after year.
Our weekly podcast will share honest, effective training tips and information, from the nuances of triathlon to the rigors of ultra running, as well as the latest in sports medicine and nutrition. Our goal is to explode the training myths and untruths marketed to athletes and to teach you how to truly unleash your ultimate potential. Be sure to subscribe for free updates of our proven strategies at pursuitathleticperformance.com. Hey everyone, welcome to this new edition of the Pursuit Athletic Performance Podcast. It's great to have you with us. I'm Coach Al, of course, and once again I'm joined by my partner in crime here at Pursuit Athletic Performance, my wonderful partner, Dr. Kurt Strecker. Doc, how are we doing today?
Well, I'm just fabulous.
You're a wonderful guy.
In introduction like that, how bad could I be?
Dude, I'm in the holiday spirit today, you know? One of our most endearing athletes, Colleen, came in and joined us today, left a little food. I'm not a fan of curry, by the way. I didn't have the heart to tell her, but
that's all right. Curry's like enough for both of us.
All right,
it's one of my favorites.
We're good to go then. But I'm in the holiday spirit today. I mean, how can you not be? There's snow outside. It's cold. It's miserable for running, but it's that time of the year.
That it is.
A lot of positive cheer.
Positive cheer and
hope. And you know, on that note, I think today we're going to talk about planking. You know, why nobody should plank, why the plank is the dumbest exercise you can do, right? I'm sure that subject heading probably caught the attention of many of our listeners. So the truth is, Doc, obviously we use planking here in our lab and with the athletes that we work with quite a bit for a variety of reasons. There's a lot of variations of planks that we'll use for various purposes. But interestingly, you know, if I go back in my own history as an athlete, when I first started including and experimenting with functional strength and doing some work to supplement my running, that full front plank was, of course, one of the first exercises that I started to play around with. And it's a version of the plank, the most popular and well-known plank that athletes do, that I've come to learn is probably the least valuable exercise that we could do. Well, maybe not the least valuable, but certainly perhaps the least valuable or applicable plank if we really want to be more stable and stronger in a way that will really help us in our sport. So I thought, as did you, that it would be a good topic for us to discuss on the podcast, to really, at least for our listeners, clear up some confusion about some different varieties of planking and why that full front plank, while it's extremely popular with a lot of people, is not necessarily the most beneficial way to get the most from our planking time and effort.
I think that's true. It certainly is the most widely used version of the plank, right? The two versions that we often use here are the half front plank with the reach, and the side plank. But again, you have to look at each athlete individually, as we do, and determine what it is that they need. Now, the reason that the full front plank is probably less useful is that it's almost overused, right? It's almost the it's the exercise when you go into the gyms and things, right? Everybody's doing that, and so for you know, somebody up the street, for Freddie up the street, it might be the appropriate exercise. Freddie might need to be doing some full front planking, but the vast majority of people that we see have challenge from side to side in the frontal plane, as opposed to and from back to front. And so it's about choosing the appropriate exercise to create stability in each athlete that we work with.
Yeah, and it's interesting, of course, you know, one of the things that we talk about all of the time, because it's essential to be healthy and to be fast, is balance in the body, right? And that full front plank, as everybody knows, really challenges the front of your body, or what we could refer to today as the anterior chain, you know? And of course, part of the consistent things that we, one of the many consistent things we see as we work with athletes is an overdevelopment in many instances of that anterior chain. Not necessarily from a stability perspective, but really from a muscular perspective. And so, as you alluded to, while it's certainly what we want to do is look at each individual athlete and determine what they need in order to restore that balance or to move forward with their sport training, for most folks, what we need is more development, more activation, more strength in the back of the body, specifically through the glute and perhaps the hamstring, without, you know, isolating a muscle per se, but just looking at the back of the body. And as you, I'm sure, will help us to all understand better, it's not just about muscles, but when we talk about stability and the value of that half front plank with a reach as an example, it's about setting up the appropriate timing and making sure the body is working together as an integrated whole to make sure that that pelvic girdle and the entire core is stable. So from the standpoint of balance, I know for myself, speaking from my own history as an athlete, and a lot of times, you know, as a coach, I'm just drawing on my own experiences. You know, you can read it in a book, but I've got, you know, a lot of years of playing around with things and seeing what works and what doesn't. And inevitably, I found that too much full front planking didn't challenge me dynamically in the ways that I'm challenged while I run, and it tends to lead to overdevelopment of the front part of our bodies.
Sure, I mean, you certainly need to address that, but you need to address, you know, stability and strength in all three planes of motion. And so, you know, the half front plank with the reach, I think, is an excellent exercise because it brings in some dynamic quality to it. There's movement involved in it, and we create stability from one hip to the opposite shoulder in an X pattern across the back. That Serapi effect that's been referred to, and the ability to do that well and do that symmetrically is a big deal. And, you know, that stability as it's created in that X pattern, when you're running, when you're up and moving around, you know, that's where that stability, or one of the places that stability comes from. So when you, the nice thing is you can use that particular exercise sort of as a litmus test, right? When you get down and do that exercise, if it's more challenging to reach with one arm than the other, then you know that there's a problem. You know when it's corrected as well.
Let me stop you there for a second, Doc, just for the benefit of our listeners, because I know that many of the people that listen to our podcast have not been through our analysis or are not necessarily looking at many of our articles or videos from the inside of our team site. You know, I know for some folks, when they look at an exercise, and, you know, if you can visualize being on your knees in a half front plank position, if I unload the arm to reach with one at a time, for many of our listeners, I bet they're thinking, how in the heck does that exercise apply to running? I'm moving my arm. Nothing else is moving, right? How is that exercise dynamically going to challenge me and, in fact, mimic or improve the stability that I need as a runner?
Well, it tests that cross pattern, that X pattern. And again, one of the things that we find here in the lab is that there's a very big correlation between, you know, which hip is unstable and which arm is more challenging to reach for the athlete. Until you can create that stability, again, symmetrically in either direction, the foundation upon which all of your other movement is built, the core, the trunk, however you want to describe it, is faulty. It's got chinks in the armor.
Right. It's a timing thing for sure. And, you know, I think the point that I was hoping to make, and you did a great job of clarifying that, is this idea that when we talk about the core and stability of the core, and the importance of the entire middle of the body being stable, we've got to consider the entire trunk, right? That, you know, most people, when they look at running as an example, don't consider the shoulder as being connected to the opposite hip, and the fact that the integration of the trunk with the lower body is what allows the entire body as a whole, and the middle in particular, to be stable. You know, I hope I'm not confusing the issue. The bottom line is it's holistic,
right?
And it's holistic from the standpoint of timing, which the critical aspect with timing is the fact that it occurs in the brain. We're talking about stability and these relatively subtle movements of our body, as we talk about every day here in the lab. How we create those motions and what's happening is what's so important.
It's all about good motor control. Yeah. There's no question. And that half front plank with the reach, when you alternate one arm and then the other, you've got to turn on and then turn off the muscles that create stability, and as well as turn on and turn off the muscles that create movement. And so the idea is to progressively challenge those things in a more dynamic way.
Yeah. You know, and just to bring it back to the full front plank, which was what was, you know, I was sort of ranting about in the beginning of our podcast. There's nothing about being in a four-point stance on your toes and on your elbows or your hands that is going to necessarily challenge stability in a dynamic way. It is a certainly a strengthening exercise, but from a functional perspective, there's not a lot of challenge and or benefit dynamically.
Right, and you know, the reaching adds that. Now you can argue that the side plank is the same thing. It's a static exercise, although we incorporate it into those beautiful side plank, front plank progressions that you created and put together for the team. And so, you know, that movement, the constant change in position, obviously is a part of it. And of course, you do have to create the stability and the strength to be able to have some endurance, right? You've got to have the endurance to be able to do that. But I would venture a guess that if we picked 10 people off the street, we would find 9 are significantly better at doing a front plank than the side plank, you know? And that therein lies the rub.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting. I was thinking about this earlier today. If I go back and think a number of years ago when I used to give more running clinics than I do now, one of the things that I would always talk about in running clinics is the importance of being able to stabilize on one leg at a time. That's what running is, right? Basically one 1,500 or so one leg squat jumps in a mile, which we talk about frequently. But when you're on a single leg and the other leg is supported and swinging through, the forces that are acting on your body are as great from side to side as they are from front to back. And that's a concept that many beginner runners or even some experienced athletes don't quite understand. So that's important. And when we look at that side plank exercise, what we're trying to develop, as you alluded to, is that strength and some endurance in that plane of motion, which we know in clinical settings is the frontal plane. It's that side-to-side plane of motion. That plane of motion becomes increasingly important on undulating surfaces for those athletes that are out there doing Xterra triathlon or trail runners. So as the foot is working over undulating surfaces, or even if you're out on a road and you know you're hopping over a curb or running on grass, those undulating surfaces require everything above our foot to be more stable to handle those surfaces appropriately. And much of those forces are in that side-to-side plane of motion. I think there's the significance with that side plank.
I think that's right. And we tend to ignore the transverse plane, that rotary plane, you know. We work on the things that look great on the beach. You know, what's going to make me look good in a
Hey, what's wrong with the beach, man?
Nothing wrong with the beach. Yeah, I love the beach. I love the beach. So, you know, but again, in all things, balance. So, you know, is the full front plank a bad exercise? No, but it's typically overused, and that's the issue. We've got to create balance in all three planes of motion, and that's it.
Yeah, you know, I think for if there's a, you know, sort of a summarizing thought or concept with respect to this podcast for our listeners, it's really, it's not that you shouldn't full front plank, but that you should also include other variations of planking, and that if you're spending most of your time full front planking, even if you can do it for 25 minutes or more, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be more injury resistant. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be any faster. There's little functional benefit to that plank. One other thing I want to add as well, Doc, this is at the forefront of my mind, is very advanced variations of planking are very popular out there in YouTube and on the internet. You know, folks want to extend an arm and a leg and incorporate twisting and incorporate a lot of unstable surfaces. The TRX is a great tool as an example here that we use in the lab, but those planking variations on a TRX where you put your feet in the handle or straps and then you're posted on your arms are extremely difficult to do.
They're
well.
They're very challenging.
Yeah.
And we're back to doing calculus before we can add and subtract. And,
yeah.
And you know, again, you know, our message is fairly consistent in that, and it's probably boring some of you to tears, but you have to start at the beginning.
Yeah.
You have to develop the basics. You've got to be really good at creating the stability, the strength, and all the things you need before you move on to more challenging and more dynamic movements, and that's, you know, that's where injury comes in. You know, the more load you add, the more compensation is involved, the more likely you are to break. You know, end of story.
You know, it's funny, Doc. You should, you know, it's interesting. You would, you know, you should say that, you know, hey, we're potentially boring our listeners by going back to the basics. But I'll say this consistently until the day I die. The most successful in any endeavor. And we look at the highest achievers, the greatest musicians on the planet, in any, you know, you're a sailor, right? The greatest sailors, the folks who perform the best, they master the basics and the fundamentals. They come back every day to go back to those basics and fundamentals. I love to use the analogy of Yo-Yo Ma or Itzhak Perlman or any of the great string players, you know, going back to those basic scales, going back to basic tone quality and the fundamentals with respect to, in, you know, to working and becoming part of their instrument. You know, they don't get wrapped up in advanced concepts until they feel comfortable with those basic concepts, and they go back to them all the time. Tom Brady what's that guy, Peyton something, working on their
Tony Romo
working on their foot mechanics, Doc, right?
Yeah.
Working on basics and fundamentals all the time.
Right.
So we're really sending the right message, in my opinion. It may not it's not the popular message, but I believe it's the right message.
Go practice your instrument. Go practice your trumpet. Go practice
the right way. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's the message that everybody needs to hear if they're looking for results that are going to be real and that are going to last.
That's
and
it.
Where they're going to be able to really raise their potential,
right?
And achieve that the greatest that they're capable of as individual people.
That's it.
So with that positive note on a holiday theme, right? We're bringing in the snow. I can hear the jingle bells now. It's jingling. Can you hear them?
Santa's
coming.
I can. They're close.
Yeah. You got that little beard growing.
There you go.
On.
That's
you need a little more white.
A little
there.
More white.
All right, everybody, thanks for joining us for this edition of the Pursuit Athletic Performance Podcast. Any questions or thoughts or follow-up, please shoot us a note on Facebook or send us an email at info@pursuitathleticperformance.com. We'd love your questions and your thoughts.
Hey, go give us a 5-star rating, too.
Yeah, and a 5-star
we work hard
rating.
At this, you know?
That's right. Don't think for a minute we're having fun here.
That's right. Tell a friend.
Tell a friend, for sure. All right. Have a great day, everybody, and a happy holiday. And we will see you soon after Christmas, but prior to the new year. See you soon, Doc.
Peace.
Thank you for tuning in to the Pursuit Athletic Performance Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please leave a 5-star rating and review here on iTunes. Be sure to head over to PursuitAthleticPerformance.com to subscribe for free tips and strategies to help you get strong, get fast, and unleash the amazing athlete in you.